This morning, and see if we can get started here. All right. Oh my God, I love electronics, man. They are just about the best thing when they work, and when they don't, it's not. Amen. Hey, turn over if you will to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I love this scripture. We've been looking at this. I'm going to talk about transformational living today. Transformational living, and I think you're going to be blessed. I know you're going to be blessed by this word today. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image as Jesus. Oh man, that, and how do you, is it by working or by struggling? Is it by, you know, just another effort? No, how are we being transformed? By simply what? Beholding the glory of the Lord, we're transformed. Hold up your Bible this morning. Come on, say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am, I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, give somebody a high five, say, I'm being transformed, how about you? Amen. Wow, hey, you guys love the new year. I love the new year because it's all about fresh start, right? Get a brand new year, yesterday's gone, thank you, Jesus, and brand new year, all this expectation. But you know what is amazing is everyone seems to start a new year's what? Resolution. Everyone seems to have one. Okay, I'm going to do this year, I'm going to do that this year, I'm going to lose weight this year. Hallelujah. I'm going to exercise more. Hallelujah. You know, Kay said this morning, said our little gym over here is filled up with cars today. You know, I went by a gym after the first, and it was like filled up. Everybody, you couldn't find a parking place at this gym after the first of the year. But I tell you what, watch about July. Watch it. You can drive through that parking lot in July. I mean, it's like no problem at all. Why? Because people are trying to change out of self-effort. Just a putting effort and struggle into it. And every new year, people come up with the same thing. And they never carry it through. It never becomes a part of their lifestyle. Okay? So a lot of people struggle to break free from their bondage and change their life. They think the answer lies in applying more principles, obeying more rules, you know, exercising more, discipline, self-control. You know, then when they get, they try to do it again and again, and then when they aren't successful, you know what happens? They fall under condemnation. And when they fall under condemnation, the problem worsens. Instead, it gets better, and they find themselves in a vicious cycle because they're condemned. Oh, I'm condemned. I ate that cupcake. No, I didn't eat the cupcake. I ate two cupcakes. No, you know what? I didn't eat two cupcakes. I ate a dozen cupcakes. And then they feel so condemned by that. Amen. You know, fear, depression, addiction, you know, if it's holding people captive, it's not God's part, not God's will, and certainly not God's best for you. God wants you living free. He wants you to be victorious. Amen. And you know, so much of this comes from our perspective of God. How we view God. You know, I'm going to tell you something. God loves you entirely, completely. No matter what you have done or do, God loves you. He is so in love with you today. Unconditionally, no strings attached, but you have got to believe it, and you've got to believe in the work that he's done, and his work is finished. Wow. His work is done. Amen. He wants to empower you and deliver you and place unmerited favor in your life. That is God's grace. Even when you messed up, God still loves you. He's still there with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He is all about your transformation. Woo! He is on your side. Turn to somebody and say, God's on your side. Amen. He is on your side. Amen. So if you're struggling today, you need to just start beholding him more. Look to him. If you're struggling with thoughts or whatever degree and you feel like, man, I'm just so struggling, you got to look at God and know what he's done for you. Amen. He placed a crown of thorns on his head because he knew that was the place that needed victory probably the most. Amen. A crown of thorns was placed on his head, and he knew you needed victory there. You need victory in your mind. You got to win it in your mind. Amen. You've got to rest in him and know that he's there for you. The devil hasn't any real power, folks. Look at Colossians 2:15. He does not have any power at all. Wow. He's always wanting to use, though, the personal pronoun. The only power he has is the power of suggestion. It hadn't changed for over, what, almost 6,000 years? The power of suggestion, right? Having disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectrum of them. What did he do? Jesus did that. He triumphed over the devil. So he has the power of suggestion. And the pronoun that he used the most is I in your mind. He'll use that. He'll say to you, I'm ugly. Well, I'm a loser. I'm an addict. I can't get over this. So he wants you to take that thought and believe it's your own. So he'll always use the I pronoun. But you know what? He's the liar. The Bible says he's the liar and the father of lies. Amen. You're not an addict in Jesus Christ. You're not ugly. You're beautiful. Amen. God's got something for you in your life that's spectacular. Praise God. You can make a difference. So the battle is not so much out there as it is right here. Your mind is the enemy's preferred battleground. That's where he wants to work on you. That's where you win it or you're defeated. And all of that comes back to how you're viewing God and his finished work. If you have a God of judgment, condemnation, guilt, wrath in your mind, and that comes up over and over again that you're out of God's favor if you mess up, you're out of God's, you know, divine plan if you mess up, you're out of his will, and then you're going to live a life of defeat. But if you know God loves me in spite of me at times, and God's for me, hello, and forgiveness was not for just yesterday, but today and forever, woo, you talk about victory. Come on, somebody. Amen. So believing right is the key. Right believing leads to right living. I love what Margaret Thatcher. Anybody heard of Margaret Thatcher? Who was she? Prime Minister of where? England, right? Listen to what she wrote. I want to give you this. Margaret Thatcher said this. Prime Minister of the United Kingdom said this. Watch your thoughts, for your thoughts become words. Watch your words, because your words become action. Watch your action, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. Wow. That is powerful. Wow. So, right believing, when we're believing right, we're going to live right. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, what is he? So is he, Proverbs 23:7. So, you know, the opposite is also true. Wrong believing produces wrong living. Apostle Paul said this, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind to who God is. Who he is, what he's done, the persona of everything about him. It's so important that we guard what we think in our hearts and in our mind. The Bible says, I want you to prosper in all things, especially where? As your soul prospers, right? So your mind is part of your soulish makeup. So that's where he says, I want you to prosper at. So we guard our hearts or our minds because the Bible says, you prosper in all things and be in health even as that soul prospers. So God wants you to prosper in all things. Amen. He wants you to walk in all things. He didn't want you under fear, anxiety. That is not prospering in your soul. He didn't want you living in your emotions. oh my gosh, I have come across so many emotional people. So many people just so emotional. God doesn't want you living in your emotions. Amen. He wants you living in the Spirit. He wants you free in the Spirit. That's where God wants you free. Amen. So what do we do? How do we break free from the lies of the enemy? How do we get over negative thinking? Because if we begin to think on it and we dwell on it, it becomes a stronghold in our mind. Stronghold is nothing more than thoughts that have been fortified and believed in, and then you begin to believe it. So if you believe, for example, if you believe that you're going into a crowded shopping mall, and maybe you've had anxiety and fear of crowds, and every time you start to go in, you have this anxiety attack. You know why? If you believe that, you're going to avoid shopping malls. You're never going to go in there again. Why? Because that's what you believe. You've thought about that. You've thought about it in your mind. You've thought it over and over again. So the Apostle Paul takes some interesting examples here, and I want you to look at this. I read this morning, and I was studying this, and I thought how powerful this is. This is so true. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. So, wow, if your parents or teachers would say you're stupid and useless and you believe them, that's how you're going to see yourself and be a failure in life. But if you start seeing yourself how God sees you, wow, how God really views you, get a grip on it. Turn to somebody and say, get a grip on it. Start seeing yourself how God sees you. Man, God sees you as beautiful, fearlessly and wonderfully made, very unique. You're one in a million, baby, for sure. Amen, you are. Look at this. Put this up. What does it say? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or of effort, but mighty, where? In God, for pulling down of what? Stronger, those fortified thoughts that have built up in our minds that say you can't, you're no good, you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be able to lose weight, you'll never be able to change this, you'll always have that habit. That is a stronghold from the enemy. That is something you believed and became fortified in your mind. But listen to what he said. I love to go on. Casting down arguments and everything that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing what? Into what? To the what? To the obedience of Christ. Notice it said, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In the NIV and the NLT, the New Living Translation, the way it's read there is it translates to mean that we are to make all our thoughts obey Christ. So many Christians think this passage is about obeying Christ perfectly in their thoughts. But that's not what it's saying. Paul says here that we are to think on and turn our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Not our obedience, but the obedience of Christ. There's a vast difference, church. It's not about our obedience, it's about His obedience. So we turn our thoughts to His obedience. So we focus on the obedience of Christ. Amen. That is how you win in your mind, by realizing that it's about Jesus's obedience. Woo! God wants you to focus your mind on Jesus' obedience. What is the obedience of that then? It's simply His obedience all the way to the cross that has brought about your total forgiveness and everlasting righteousness. That's good, Pastor Steve. Look at Luke 19, 1 through 10. I think I mentioned this little guy last week, but I want to look at this again. This is so good. You know, everyone that Jesus came into contact with, He never condemned. He never condemned. And you know, so many people are so afraid and full of condemnation over things they've done, over past failures. And it's that condemnation that the enemy uses to keep people where they are. But I love this story. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, Jericho is known as the place of the curse, by the way. So he entered there and passed through there. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was very rich. He was not very rich off of, honest means. He was very rich because tax collectors back then, they would scam the people, and they would charge more, and they would put that in their pocket. So he was a very dishonest man. Very dishonest man, okay? And he sought to see who Jesus was. Isn't that awesome? Folks, I love this. He sought to see who Jesus was. If we would just seek to see who Jesus is. Amen. I mean, I thought, what a heart. Here's this guy, a tax collector, hated by society, but he wanted to see who Jesus was. Whoa. Man, I think that is one of the greatest things you can ever do. Lord, unveil Jesus to me. Show me who Jesus is. Show me what Jesus has done for me. Amen. But he could not because of the crowd, and he was what? So he was inhibited by his short stature. Not only was he a tax collector, a thief, but also he was what? Short. He was small. He couldn't, he couldn't see up. One of the advantages I love, is when being 6'2", because I could see pretty good. But I remember when the kids were small, I'd take them and I'd put them on my shoulder. And I'd walk around, and they loved it because, you know what? They got to see even higher than I did. And I think about that when Jesus took the lamb and he put it on his shoulder and he brought it back to the fold. Amen. He gave him a new perspective, probably one that the lamb had never seen before. Amen. Because he was resting on his shoulders. That's where you are today. God wants to give you a new perspective and just rest on Jesus' shoulder. So here he is. He couldn't see him for the crowd. And you know what? That's the same thing today. A lot of people can't see Jesus for the crowd, the religious crowd. They see a lot of other things, but they don't see Jesus. I want us to unveil Jesus to people, folks. Amen. Look at this. Go on down. So he ran ahead and climbed to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Look at this astonishing verse. And when Jesus came to the place, wow, he looked up and saw him. When he came to that place, he looked up. You know what? Jesus will meet you at that place. He will always meet you at that place. Amen. And he looked up to him. I love that. Here this guy had been looked down all of his life. People were looking down on him, but Jesus looked up to him. God wants to, man, that's what he does for you. He looks up to you. He loves you today. So cool. Looked up to him and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Whoa, I want to spend some time with you, man. I want to hang out with you, tax collector shorty. I want to be at your house today, thief. I want to come to your place, right? I want to hang out with you. I love Jesus, man. He is so cool. So he made haste and came down and received him how? Now, do you think if Jesus was condemning him, he would have received him joyfully? No. How cool is, here's a tax collector, a thief, a man who no doubt was always looked down in society, both because of what he's done and because of his stature. But Jesus said, hey, I want to come to your house. And how did he receive him? He received him joyfully. Now look at the change that takes place here, man. This is so cool. Look at this. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Wow! Religious folks, that's what religion does. Religion just points the finger continually at people, man. He's gone to be, Jesus, wow. Look at this, I love this. Next verse. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore what? Fourfold. Do you think that's repentance? Did Jesus tell him to repent? Did Jesus say, hey boy, you better straighten up before I come to your house? Just by Jesus' presence, he changed effortlessly. All of a sudden, that heart changed. Folks, that's where it is. It is such an, as we behold him, It's just an effortless change. We just begin to be more like him, just begin to enjoy his fellowship, enjoy his love. And I love this. He said, I restore fourfold. Next verse. And Jesus said to him, today, repent. No, today what? Salvation, wholeness, restoration, healing. All that encompasses that word. Today has come to you, Zacchaeus. It's come back to your place. Why? Because he simply desired to behold Jesus. He simply desired to see who Jesus was. And as he desired to see who Jesus was, his whole life changed. And when you desire to see who he is, man, all of a sudden, man, your whole life changed. And you notice the focus wasn't on him, it was on others. He said, Lord, I'll restore to them. When you see Jesus, your focus and your perspective gets off you and gets off to somebody else. And you say, wow, man, I want to bless them. Amen. How can I help them? What can I do for them? Jesus said, man, salvation's come to your house. I love it, because he is the son of Abraham. Amen. Isn't that powerful, church? I love that scripture. It is so good, so chock full of stuff. Y'all still here this morning? Amen. I love that. Look at Galatians 5, 22, 23. I want to show you something. So much people put self-effort into everything, and they don't realize it's already a part of who they are. Already in your born-again spirit, you have everything that you need to overcome. Everything that you need is already deposited in your born-again spirit. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? So you don't have to be addicted to anything. You don't have to have a depressed day, unless you choose to. Amen, because you choose it in your mind. But everything you have is already there. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love is already there. Love, oh, Pastor, I need love. Love is already there. Joy is already there. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Self-control. You don't have to eat that extra donut. Why? Because it's already there. Self-control is in your spirit, in your born-again spirit. It's part of the fruit. Not fruits, fruit. It's all one fruit. Turn to somebody and say, you're fruity. Amen. It's already there. No Fruit Loops, just fruity, right? Praise God. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is what? There is no law in your spirit, man. No law in the fruit of the Spirit. No effort in... What does law mean? Law means effort. There's no effort. It's in your spirit. Wow. I was reading this. Man, that is so powerful. Amen. So powerful. As a believer, you are eternally ever forgiven and made righteous in Jesus Christ, not by your works, but by his works, what he's done. You are righteous forever, not because of your obedience of good works, but because of his obedience. Man, wow, he is forever there with you. Forever, he has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how do we change? We focus on Jesus. We transform by focusing on Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is his word. We focus on his word. Amen. His word has the power to change us. It simply changes us. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Wow. Christ is where? In you. 2 Corinthians, I think I said, did I say 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 2:16, am I right? Yes, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he instruct him, but we have what? We have the mind of Christ. It is already in us. Amen. We have to choose it. That's all. Just believe it. Believe it's there. Look at Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Wow, his thoughts are noble. His thoughts are good. His thoughts are pure. Look what it says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are what? True, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of, if there is any virtue and if there's any praise. Now, what if there is any virtue, any praise in it? Don't think on it. Absolutely. Don't dwell on it. Amen. Don't allow your mind to go there. When you get up in the morning, you know, this has just revolutionized my life. When I get up in the morning, I am so excited about the day. I get up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for this day. I'm excited about it. Amen. And because I know God's favor's on my life. I believe that. I literally believe God's favor's on my life. Amen. I believe good things are going to happen to me. I make an expectation of good because I serve a good God. Amen. When I get up, I say, good morning, because I serve a good God. So it's going to be a, what kind of day?
Good day.
Oh, Pastor, you mean every day is a good day? Every day is a good day. You mean you don't face different things? Oh, I face a lot of things, but you know what? I serve a God that's triumphant and victorious, and so I know I'm going to triumph and be victorious. Amen. If I face something, I'm not going to let it affect my emotions and get me down. No. You know, I just went through an event, and it wasn't a great event, but you know what? I'm joyous. Whether it was a good event, not a good event, I'm still joyous. Why? Because I win every time. Why do I win? Because he's won. And I like winning. Winning is fun. Winning is fun. I've been a loser. How many of you ever been a loser? How many have ever been on a losing team? Hello? How many love to win? Winning is fun. I'm telling you why. You are winners this morning. You can be a winner or a whiner. I choose to be a winner. Because I realize I've already won. Christ has already won it for me. So when I get up in the morning, I say, it's going to be a good day because I've got favor in my life. I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm favored of God. Everywhere I go, I'm favored. I expect good from God. Hello. Amen. I may go through things and bump into different things, but you know what? I know all things work for together of good for me because God loves me. Hallelujah. Gave himself for me. So it's going to be a good day. In fact, it's going to be a good week. In fact, it's going to be a good month. In fact, it's going to be a good year. It's nothing but good. Good life. Praise God. But most people don't have that understanding because they don't have the right believing about God and who God is and what he's done for them and what's already been accomplished for them. And they think they have to struggle through life. And if they face something, it's difficult or challenging, they just get overwhelmed with it and they fall apart like a $2 suitcase. And, you know, everything just starts falling apart in their life. And this is going wrong and that's going wrong. Instead of just facing it with an attitude of gratitude, say, thank you, Jesus. I'm learning through this. I grow through this. I thank you for that opportunity. Hallelujah. Because you're good to me, God, and you only give good gifts. And every good gift and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. In him, there is no variable or shadow of turning. That's word. Amen. So I wake up. I feel good. Da, 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 like you knew that I would. I feel good. Da, 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 da. Every morning you get up, you feel good? I have a choice. I may have a pain, but I feel good. Why? Because I know God's my healer. When you know God's your healer, you say, whoa, praise God. How I feel good. But man, most people, man, it's all in their attitude and their mind, and they don't allow to think on those things, man. They think on that pain. Oh, that pain. Oh, I feel that pain. Oh, I feel this. Or, oh, I feel that. Or somebody's out to get me. I'm amazed in the world how many people think somebody's out to get them. In the car business, every guy I know, they're out to get you. They're all out to get you. And then they develop this attitude. Everybody's out to get me, you know. No. Somebody wants to bless you. Hello? Y'all here this morning? Y'all here this morning? Come on, y'all receive that? When you get up in the morning, I just challenge you to get up and say, I feel good. Today's a good day because I serve a good God. Amen. I have a proper perspective of who he is, and I know he wants to bless my life today. Amen. It's going to be a good day. Amen. In spite of myself, it's going to be a good day. I might miss it. I might blow it, but God still loves me, and it's going to be a good day. Hallelujah. Hello? I love it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Wow. You are who God says you are. You are who God says you are in his word. What God calls you, that's who you are. What God says you are, is that who you are. God says you're healed, that's who you are. I am the healed of the Lord. God says you're blessed, that's who I am. I am blessed. God says you're prospering, I am prosperous. That's who I am. Praise God. God says I'm at peace. That's who I am. God says I live abundant life. That's what I do. I am who Jesus says I am in his word, not who the devil says I am. I am who God says I am, and I am has spoken. So we bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. By saying, I am who God says I am. Amen. You'll produce that fruit of self-control, of emotional stability. You won't be falling apart. Amen. But you got to get up and you got to say it and you got to realize it and you got to live it. And when that thought comes in your life, you cast that thought down. You take the thought that says, I am in Christ. And everything I am, he is. And everything he is, I am. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live my life today being a part of who he is, because I am who he says I am. That's who I am. If somebody says something to me, I don't have to get offended by it, because I am in Christ today. I take no offense. That's who I am. I am. Man, you live, all of a sudden you start living up here instead of down here where everybody else is living. You start living up on this line instead of down that line, because you know who you are in Jesus. And things don't affect you like they used to. Somebody in the corner talking about you, it doesn't matter. Because I am in Jesus. Praise God. You are. I am a winner. Turn to somebody and say, I am a winner. In fact, tell them, I win every time. I win every time. I am the winner. Don't even play Monopoly with me, because I am the winner. Checkers, baby, I wipe you out. Amen. I am the winner. I win. And the reason I win is because Jesus has won. And the victory has already been purchased, and so I have the victory. And you got to have this attitude of gratitude, this attitude of Christ. He said, let that attitude, if you look at this scripture I read, it says, let this, one translation says, let this attitude that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Who do you think he was? What do you think Jesus thought about himself? What do you think the Father thought about Jesus? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what Jesus thinks about you. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, but I blew it. God is well pleased. How he's well pleased with you. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, let it be your lifestyle. Let that attitude of how much God loves you, how blessed you are, be your lifestyle. Amen. Let it just naturally should come flow out of you. Amen. Stop your worrying. God's got you. It's going to be all right. Amen. Why? Because I am. And he says, I cast my cares on the Lord. Right before that, he says, give no place to the devil. Right? He says, cast your cares on the Lord. Why? Why should we do that? Why? Because he cares for you. Imagine that. Stand this morning. Amen. Give God some praise. Come on. Amen. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Just behold Jesus this week, folks, in all his glory and splendor, in all of his love that he has for you, and all the forgiveness he's already provided for you, in all of his grace. Praise God. What a great week it's going to be. What an awesome week you're going to have. Amen. Filled with blessing and miracle. Amen. Expectation of good. Praise God. Oh, man. Hallelujah. I can't hardly wait. And because it's good. It's so good. So good. And you need to share this with somebody. It's so good. Praise God. It's so good. Amen. Raise your hands this morning. Say with me, I am a winner. In life, I win. I am successful. I'm blessed because of all that Jesus has done. My life, I live for him and others. I put others before me. I value them. thank you, Lord, I have something to give, because freely, freely I receive, so freely I can give. And I give to others. I think of ways to bless others. I think of ways to share the love of Jesus. In Jesus' name, this week is going to be a great week. I'm going to be blessed. No matter what I face, I know I win. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I'm not being overcome. I'm an overcomer. In Jesus' name, I win. Praise God. Give God some praise. Amen. Woo! I want you to hug some winners this morning. All right? Tell them you win today.